Hallelujah. There's a buzz in the air. Y'all ready to praise the Lord? Look at somebody and say, welcome to the presence. Come on, look at somebody else and say, welcome to the presence. This is the day the Lord has made. What are we going to do? Are you glad? Are you ready to rejoice? Come on, stand on your feet. Welcome those of you who are in-house, those of you watching. Thank you for joining us today on this Memorial Day weekend. Is that? No, that's next week. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's all right. Y'all ready to praise the Lord? How many of you know we serve a mighty God? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're a mighty God. Awesome, awesome. A mighty God.
Come on, say that again. Awesome.
Awesome, awesome.
Come on, say it with us.
Awesome, awesome. Awesome, awesome. A mighty God.
Hey.
Awesome, awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Hey.
And I glorify you.
There is Y'all pray for me. Pray for me. Those hands together, give God praise.
This is my desire. To honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Come on, sing it with me. Desire. Come on.
This is my desire.
God, we want to honor you this morning.
Away.
Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. Worship the Lord. Come on.
Upon the cross. praise you, Jesus. Here I am, Lord. Here I am to worship your wonderful holy name, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Oh, there's such a sweet spirit in this place, isn't there? Praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. That's a wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit here. And in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, Lord, are pleasures forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you. Lord, we honor you this morning. We give you all the glory and all the praise. For you are worthy to be praised. For you have redeemed us under our God out of every kindred, nation, and people, Lord. Oh, God, your word says to magnify the Lord with me. Lord, I know we can't make you bigger. But, Lord, I want to just realize how great you are. Magnify you to me, Lord, that I can realize, Lord, how great and mighty and awesome you are this morning, Lord. God, you're bigger than all of our problems, Lord. Lord, you're bigger than every situation, Lord. Oh, Lord, I praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for our nation, Lord, this morning, God. Lord, I pray that you would just heal our land, God. Lord, help us to repent of all of our evil ways, Lord, and heal our land, God. I pray for our community here in Owosso. God, let the revival of your power, let there be a revival in this city, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. God, let it begin in me, Lord. Lord, let us see you touch lives, heal the sick. Oh, Lord, open eyes of the blind, Lord God. Oh, just to release the captives, Lord Jesus. God, I pray for our community here in the county of Tulsa. Lord, our state of Oklahoma, Lord, we need revival, Lord. God, we need some changes in life and in the spirits of this world, Lord God. Lord, I pray for all of our leadership. God, I pray for all of them in Washington to Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, in Owosso here, Lord. God, give them wisdom and eyes to see. Lord, I pray for our church here, Lord God, that you would just continue, God, to move in our midst. Lord, we are honored, Lord. We are honored, Lord, by your presence this morning. God, I pray for all of our different groups, Lord. I pray for our youth, God. Lord, I pray that you just continue to move in their hearts and lives, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I pray for all of our older folks, Lord. All of our married folks, Lord. I pray for every family in this building tonight or this morning, Lord. I pray for every home that's represented here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd bind up every wickedness in high places, Lord, that would come against our homes and our marriages, Lord, and our children, Lord. God, we bind up the enemy in Jesus' name this morning, Lord. God, we pray that these families would be loose. God, that there be victory in those homes, Lord. That there would be peace that would reign in those homes, Lord. That there would be salvation that would come to those homes, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for our prayer requests this morning, Lord, that's come in. God, you know all the needs, Lord Jesus. Praise God. I pray, Lord, that there'd be healing, Lord, for Chaney and Sherry Went, Lord God. Move in a mighty way, Lord God. Have mercy, Lord, this morning, God. I pray that you would just arise, Lord, Daystar, with healing in your wings, Lord God. For you are the Lord God that heals us. God, you heal us spiritually, Lord. You heal us in our body, Lord God. You heal us in our mind, Lord Jesus. You heal us in our spirit, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that there would be healing in all areas.
Yes, God.
In every area of our life, that we would prosper and be in good health, Lord. Even as our soul prospers. And Lord, I pray for this remaining part of this service, Lord God. That your spirit would just stay with us, Lord. That your spirit would open our eyes and our mind to hear and to receive your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless Pastor this morning as he delivers your word. Lord, let a special anointing touch his lips. Let a special anointing touch his mind from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, Lord. And anoint the listeners this morning. Anoint our ears to hear. And we give you all the praise and glory, Lord. We give you all the honor this morning. Lord Jesus, we honor you. We give you glory, Lord. Oh, praise your holy name. Oh, praise your holy name. Glory to your name. We give you glory and honor for all that you've done and will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, give it up to the Lord real good this morning. God is good, amen. Is he good to you? He's been good to me. So why don't you praise his name as if he's been good to you? And he has. You know why? He woke you up this morning. I don't see a dead person in here. And prayerfully, you're not spiritually dead. Prayerfully, you're not spiritually dead. So one more time, let's just give the Lord a hand praise just for his goodness towards us. God is good. God is good. Let's take this time and do our affirmation prayer. Everyone together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. And I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I agree according to 3 John 2 that in every area of my life I am prospering. And I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. With thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I know Rita's going to come and greet our everyone, actually, but our first-time guests, definitely. But I just wanted to say, my mama's back, y'all. Come on, stand up, mama. For those who don't know who mama is, she's not. Stand up. So Mama Essie was in Ghana, West Africa, for an entire month. And you all, my daddy survived. He made it. Isn't that wonderful? But I just wanted to just say I'm grateful that she's here this morning. But sometimes we take for granted that the results of our prayers are going to be what we pray. And we brought Mom up before she left. I don't know why I'm echoing in here. Brought her up, and we prayed, God, take her safely and bring her home safely. No sickness, no issues of any kind. In fact, Mama would tell you she did better over there than she's been doing here, physically and so. But I just thank God that he answered the prayer and brought my mama back. I love you so much. Glad to have you home.
Now, I would have made Dad Mixon stand up, too, because they both are matching and so cute. Just stand up. Stand up. Show. They're not just colors. This is patterns. Welcome home. And welcome to the presence in Owosso. Is everyone having a great Sunday so far? I tell you what, all of you look so cute in the Lord this morning. I'm just going to tell you, if there's such a thing as being cute in the Lord, you look it. Standing up here and just watching everyone, your own little personalities and mannerisms and energy that you offer up, we call that praise and worship. But you guys are just cute. So look at someone, tell them you're cute. There, you're cute in the Lord. Well, welcome this morning, and everyone that is online, we want to welcome you too. And we want to take time and honor our first-time guest this morning. If that is you, would you please stand? Your very first time here at the Presence in Owosso. All right, stay standing. And we got one back over here. Awesome, I didn't get to meet you. I know this is Juanita, right? From Colorado Springs. So she's quite a ways from home. And like we do here at the Presence, we're going to have them stay standing because everyone else, let's join them. If you're in their areas, make sure you greet our guests. Give them a special welcome. And if you are not by someone that's a guest, find two or three people. Give them a big high five or a hug. Let's take a moment. Just love on one another here at the Presence this morning. So honored to have each and every one of you. If you are watching online and there is someone near, you would greet them, give them a hug, a high five. So welcome to watching with me at the Presence online. As always, if you have your phones, we invite you to take them out, send a link, social media, invite someone to join us to hear the word this morning. And we just want to take time now, as the one delivering the word is coming, will you give him a round of applause this morning to Pastor Alvin Frugé.
Praise the Lord. We want to dismiss our children. Let's dismiss our children. Let's give a hand to our Presence kids. Man, y'all love to praise the Lord. Johnny, there is an echo up here. I appreciate Johnny doing double duty, triple duty. We did this Wednesday night, but we didn't do it last Sunday. So I want to do it now. I want to honor and just congratulate our high school graduate. Come on, Michael, stand on your feet. Just graduated from Owosso. Yeah. Love you, man. Congratulations. Congratulations. Well, I'm going to do something. We probably have only, I think we've only done it one other time in the history of our church. So this is a good time to do it. Y'all ready? All right. So next week is Memorial Weekend, right? Okay. And we have quite a few people that are going to be traveling and out of town, and some of our key people here. And so this is what we're going to do. Next Sunday, we're going to encourage you to go to church somewhere other than here. Yeah. So here's the idea. The idea is you go to church, go somewhere, whether you get together with a group, maybe the Presence Cruisers want to get together and have a little home service. Next Sunday, Presence in Owosso, we're encouraging you to have church somewhere else. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Y'all looking at me like, so let me say it this way. If you come next Sunday, the doors will be locked. There'll be a sign on the door that says, we are encouraging our members and regular attenders to attend somewhere else next Sunday. If you understand what I'm saying, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. Now, in addition to that, the following Sunday is the first Sunday in June. We are calling June our Bring a Friend Month. Bring a Friend to Church Month. So all June, we're encouraging you to bring a friend to church. How many of you are going to endeavor to do that? Now listen, don't bring them next week. Don't bring them next week, okay? Now I know this is something different, something new, but just trust me. It's going to be okay, okay? We're not going to hell for not having church on a Sunday. It's going to be all good. All right, so next Sunday, we're just encouraging you. We'll send out emails and all of that just to remind you. And we want everybody, Vernita, if you can begin posting on our social media. And what we're going to attempt to do, Johnny's going to attempt to do, is to post one of our previous services online if you want to do that. Okay? All well? Good. Thank you. God bless you. We'll do the rest of the announcements later. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? Turn with me to Proverbs 23 and 7. Proverbs 23 and 7. Proverbs 23 and 7. And then I'm also going to go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. This is where we've been talking from for the last 2 weeks. This is the third week of our What Were You Thinking series. Everybody say, what were you thinking? So we're getting our minds back in May. Amen. Lift that Bible up. Say this, I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Come on, say it again. I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that you are speaking in this house. Thank you, God, that we have ears to hear. Come on, say, I have ears to hear. We have ears to hear this morning what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, I just wanted to also say that generally on third Sundays we have the youth go and they have their own little teaching time. But I want them to stay in here and hear this. They need to hear this word. And so we thank you for allowing us to make that adjustment today. Proverbs 23 and 7, this is the New King James Version. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And then 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Come here, everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. So we've been talking about getting our minds back in May, right? And so the title of this series is What Were You Thinking? You know, and when that verse in Proverbs 23 and 7, just brief review of part 1 and 2, and you can go back and watch these. It's been a great, great series. And I also want to say, the last couple of Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the mind as well. 2 weeks ago, Ira Miller did a teaching from Romans 12 and 2, right? Be not conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He did an awesome job. You can go back and watch that. If you go to Facebook, just go back to that date. And then this past Wednesday, I talked from, I think, Romans 5 and 6 or 8 and 6, something like that. I can't remember. Huh? 8 and 6. So this verse here, Proverbs 23 and 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, as a man think, that word think literally means to split open like a gate, right? Like someone has a home, a gated home, like a gate. Your mind and your heart, you have the ability to allow whatever or to stop whatever from coming into the gate. As a man thinketh or opens the gate to whatever, so is he. So whatever you allow, whatever you open to allow to come in, that's how you're going to be. You have to be the keeper of your gate. Okay? All right. What are you allowing in the gate of your heart? Then last week was Mother's Day, and we talked about you better mind your mother. You better mind your mother. And taken from Matthew 22:37, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Mind. You better mind. To mind means to obey. Right? And so just like mothers want their children to obey them or to, in a sense, think like them, do what they would do, God expects us to mind him, to lock our minds into his mind, and to begin to display the mind of Christ in our thinking and in our actions. All right, that's part one and two. So part three today, the subtopic is taking authority over your mind. Taking authority over your mind. I want to read. I'm going to read for you Luke 13:11. I'm going to read it in the New American Standard Bible, and I'm also going to read it in the King James Version. Luke 13:11, New American Standard Bible says, "And there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double, bent over, and could not straighten up at all." 18 years. King James Version says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together," or again, bent over, "and could in no wise lift up herself." So I said this Wednesday night, and I just want to, because I think this is important, because it shows that God orchestrates things, right? So before the first Sunday in May, I was praying, and I felt like God wanted us to do a series. You know, let's do a series in May. And so I just was thinking, you know, Lord, well, what? And the first thought I had is, well, it'll be something that starts with an M. And it'll be something that starts with an M. And because May, M, you know, just. And then the next thing I heard in my heart and in my spirit was the mind. Encourage the people to get their minds back in May. That's exactly how it happened. So I began to prepare. I did the first Sunday message. And after the first Sunday message, and this is the absolute truth. After Sunday's message, somehow I found out, because I didn't know, that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Who knew that? I didn't know that. I honestly didn't know. But when I found out, I was like, okay, Lord. So I knew after that first Sunday that sometime during this series we were going to talk about mental health. And I believe this is the last part of this series. And so today we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about mental health. Because as God's children, listen, as God's children, our perspective, our viewpoint, and even our speak, what we say, should be different than the world's. I'm going to say that again. As God's children, our perspective, our viewpoint, what we say on certain issues should be different than the world's. As Christians, we should be saying something different than what the world is saying. Our way of dealing with any kind of issue, including mental health issues, should be different. I won't take you to Exodus, the 32nd chapter, when Moses was saying to God, "God, listen, we're not going anywhere without you, because your presence is what distinguishes us from the world." There should be a difference, a distinguishing between those who are God's children and those who aren't. In every way, our response to life's challenges should be different. What we say should be different. How we think should be different. Now, with that said, let me just say that I would venture to say that there are some in this room or that are watching that in some way have been affected, have a loved one or battling themselves in some way with mental health issues. And so I want to just say to you right now that the purpose of this message is pure and simple, to give you the Word of God and give you the truth of the Word, so that if there is an area where you are in bondage or where you don't know the truth, you can know the truth so that you can be set free. I'm not trying to call anybody out. I'm trying to call us all up. You understand? Okay. So with that said, let me just lay some groundwork in terms of what mental health is, the issue. All right? And I don't want to get too deep into it, but I do need to lay out something so that we can make a couple of observations. Okay? The mental health issue only came to mainstream in the last 20 years. Before 20 years ago, you didn't really hear anything in the media or anything about mental health. All right? Some things over the last 20 years have just kind of brought it to the forefront, some athletes and different people that have come out and said and all of that, all right? But the Mental Health Act of 1983 was introduced to establish rights and equal opportunities for people with mental illness and was majorly updated in 2007. According to the media, things like depression, suicide, the inability to function normally, violent rampages, all of those things have been attributed to mental illness. Okay? The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration said this: mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, how we feel, act, and helps determine how we handle stress, relate to others, and make choices. Mental illnesses, this is based from this Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, mental illnesses are considered disorders ranging from mild to severe that affect a person's thinking, mood, and or behavior. From the late 1970s to the present, here's how it's been dealt with. They call it the medical model. The medical model has influenced how mental health is understood. The medical model explains behavior using theories from the biological approach. This approach states that mental illnesses have a physical cause, that the cause is physical, such as chemical imbalances, okay, neurotransmitters dysfunction, physical trauma, brain abnormalities. For the most part, mental illness has been treated by the use of medications to alter the chemical balance of neurotransmitters and hormones that may cause mental health problems. Now, the problem with all this data and expert opinions is that nobody is willing to acknowledge or in any way address the spiritual side of mental illness. There are some things, some actions, some sicknesses that originated from the spirit realm. Stay with me. This woman in Luke 13:11 had an 18-year sickness that came from a spirit. Now, let me just stop right there and say, not all sickness is spiritual. It's just not. Some things that we deal with are because we're not taking care of our bodies right. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that all sickness is from the devil, because it's not. So let me just add here. All mental issues are not from the devil. All right. But just let this sink in, that this woman in the Bible for 18 years was dealing with an issue that was from a spirit. Now, whenever someone goes on a shooting rampage or someone commits suicide, they do it in the media. We always go right to, you know, mental health is a real issue in our country. We go straight to that. But sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes it is the influence of spiritual wickedness in high places. It is just pure evil. And we are fooling ourselves if we think that everything is biological and the devil is sitting back just grinning because he's just having his day and ain't nobody even thinking that it's him. If mental health, if you have to use that word health, then it means that someone is sick, right? If mental health is a sickness, where does that sickness come from? Yes, it could be the result of a trauma. There are people that have experienced tremendous trauma in their life, and it just, they don't know how to deal with it, so it takes them on a trip. And some people never come back from that. We have people that experience just people in military that experience just tremendous trauma. And now they're dealing with various issues as a result of that. I've talked with some people that have said, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night, just start yelling out my former soldiers' names that died. People experience trauma. There's nothing spiritual about that. Yes, it could be a result of some type of chemical imbalance. That's above my pay grade and probably many of yours. But some people have a chemical imbalance in their life that has to be dealt with. It's not a spiritual thing. But yes, it could be an attack from the devil. The wrestling of the mind, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers, wickedness in high places. Sometimes it is a messenger of Satan. And we have to be willing to say that. Some of these multiple murders and shootings are just, they're just evil. They're just evil. People are being taken over. They've opened the door in some kind of way, and the enemy has come in and arrested them. Some of them, if you talk to them, they say, I heard voices. Somebody told me to do it. Well, yes. And you can't solve spiritual issues with medication. A man came to Jesus. In Scripture, he had a son, and the father said he was a lunatic. The father was saying, "My son, my child is a lunatic." Some of y'all that have children may have thought that at one time or another. Titus, just look straight ahead. Don't even look down. He said to Jesus, Jesus, my son, he's throwing himself in and out of the fire and da da da, and he, you know, he's rolling around on the ground and gnashing his teeth, doing all that. That ain't no medic. I don't care. All the medication in the world ain't going to help that. Jesus didn't prescribe medication. He said he looked at that spirit and said, come out. When you, for whatever reason, begin to sense any mental issue in your life, whatever it is, just whatever it is. Listen, some Sometimes you have a bad day. Sometimes you just, everything looks cloudy. You just feel discouraged. If you say you have never been there, you're better than me. I've had those days of like, what are we doing? What did I preach Sunday? Lord, what was that? I'm such a failure. We all have those days. Listen, when the thing that you don't want to do is when you have one of those days, I'm suffering from depression. Stop. First of all, stop diagnosing yourself. Before you go to a doctor, when you begin to sense anything, before you go to a doctor, before you go to a therapist, before you take any medication, take it to the Lord in prayer. Listen, our first line of defense with mental health issues should not be medication. Here's a new word. It should be wordification. Wordication. Go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Before you go to a therapist, go to Jesus, who is the wonderful counselor. Our response to any type of attack should always be based on the Word of God. Listen, when someone who doesn't know the Lord, when they say, I need to step away or shut things down for my mental health, it's because they are trying to deal with things the best they know how. They don't have a Savior. They don't know the Lord. So the only thing that they know to do is shut it down. I don't know what to do. So they go. They retreat. Isolate. But ladies and gentlemen, children of the Most High God don't need to step away. They just need to step closer to Him who sits on the throne. I'm not saying you shouldn't take some time off, vacation. That's all good. You need to do those things. But the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. When you have an issue, that's the first thing you do. Go to the Lord. God, I don't know what this is. What is it? Help me. Your mental health was settled when Jesus went to the cross. Listen, with all the Word we have, all the Holy Ghost we have, all the power we have, why are we talking like the world as though we don't have any hope? Speak to your mind and say, mind, peace be still. You have to take authority over your mind. Your mind doesn't rule you. You rule your mind. You are the gatekeeper. Your mind doesn't control you. Your mind doesn't have dominion over you. Take authority over your mind and say, listen, mind, there's a new sheriff in town. Turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, 8th chapter. Verse 35. Romans 8:35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? From the essence of Christ? From the mind of Christ? From the clarity of Christ? From the power of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 37. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The devil wants to separate you, and he does that through your mind. And you have to declare, no, I'm not going to allow the enemy to separate me from the peace of God, from the love of God, from the joy of God. in the name of Jesus. So, I'm going to give you, in closing, I'm going to give you, chill. When you say I'm about to close, they go to the instrument. Okay. I want to give you seven ways to get your mind back and keep it. Seven ways. And as you're preparing to take notes, whatever, I want to say this. Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, he said this, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Now, in light of this sermon series, that just screamed at me this morning. I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians 11:3. I am afraid, Paul said to the church, the saints, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. The enemy wants to separate you from Christ. Sometimes you need to just turn the TV off, turn the news off, because some of it has nothing to do with biological health issues. It's pure spiritual. And until, as a country, until we see that, until we realize, listen, thank God that once a year, out of 365 days, we have a day of prayer. We need more. So the enemy is after your mind. And if he gets place, the Bible says, neither give place to the enemy. If he gets place in your mind, hear me, if he gets place in your mind, don't take this the wrong way, but if he gets place in your mind, you're done. Until you get your mind back. And unfortunately, there are people who are saved, who call themselves Christians, but they literally do not have control over their mind. So, seven ways to get your mind back. Are you ready? I need to know you're ready. Are you okay? All right. Number one. Remember or remind yourself. Remind yourself, first of all, that you're a child of God. Wait a minute. What am I doing? I'm a child of God. And realize that you have unlimited access to the mind of Christ. So I would just say, for number one, remember who you are in Christ and that you have access to his mind. That's 1 Corinthians 2:16. Remember who you are in Christ. You have the mind of Christ. This next verse was mentioned on Wednesday night. Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, it's not saying get the mind. What it's saying is realize that you have it. Activate the mind of Christ. Activate it. That's number one. Number two. Set your mind. Set your mind. Number two. Number one was remember who you are in Christ. Number two, set your mind. Everybody say, set your mind. I could take you over to Daniel 1 and 8 when Daniel and the three Hebrew bros were taken by the Babylonian captivity, and they were going to give them all this nice food, you know, ribeye steaks and stuff. And the Bible says Daniel set his mind not to eat the king's meat. You have to set your mind. We mentioned this Wednesday. I taught from Romans 8. Let me read verse 5 and 6. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on flesh, the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. You have the responsibility to set your mind. to set what will come in, to set what will go out. You have to set personal testimony. I'm just using this as an example. I recently had gone to the doctor. I get a checkup every, 30 years. And so I went to the doctor. And they do the blood test, and my cholesterol was a little high, right? And this is just me. This is just me, okay? This is me. Doctor wanted to put me on something. I said, let's hold off on that. He said, well, what are you going to do? Not eat this and not eat that, da 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 da. And I said, well, just give me a few months. Let me, you know. I don't know what day of the week that was, but I think the following Monday, I said to myself, okay, starting Monday, we're on a new journey. So I did. On a new journey. And listen, you guys really don't know how much I love hamburgers. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but it's something about rolling into Whataburger and getting me a burger with bacon on it and French fries and a Coke. And I don't know what it just tastes good riding in the car and eating it. I don't know, for some reason. I like to put the bag like right there, get my burger, and I'll have the Coke and I'll have the fries, and it just, I don't know what it is. I just, would you? So no, Pastor Noel said it's a spirit. Well, I'm telling you what, if it was, I cast it out on that Monday. It's been almost a month. I haven't had one since. The point is, I set my mind. Right? I've lost a little weight. It's just, you have to set your mind. You have to say, okay, that's it. That is it. Y'all know, men and women, y'all know when you like, you just kind of start eating crazy and you step on the scale one day and you're like, the devil. The devil! you step off. That wasn't right. That wasn't right. I rebuke you. Get that right. You step on again. Lord Jesus! But what happens is you set your mind. You say, that's it. That's it. Rice cakes from here on out. That's it. Rice. You have to set your mind in terms of spiritual things. Young people, set your mind. Don't let people tell you what to think, how to think. You determine. You decide. No, I'm good. That's what Noah, our oldest grandson. No, you want to go with me to city council meeting? No, I'm good. So, you just got to tell people, look, no, I'm good. I'm good. Set your mind. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You have to be all in with your heart, soul, and mind. Set your mind. Dad mentioned this scripture on Wednesday night, Isaiah 26:3, one of his favorites. I'm going to read the New King James Version. Isaiah 26:3. Thou, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You got to set your mind and keep it on him. That's all right. So number one, remember who you are. Number two, set your mind. Number three, renew your mind. It is your responsibility to renew your mind. Ira talked on this a couple of weeks ago, Proverbs 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to do so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And I want to interject also, Ephesians 4:23-24 says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. You have to renew your mind. Number four, take authority over your mind. Take authority over your mind. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. I'm going to read the King James Version. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The strongholds, it's in your mind. You have to pull them. You got to take authority over, pull those things down. Right? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity some thoughts. No, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday thoughts. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday thoughts. No, taking captive every thought. God's not going to do that for you. You have to do it. To the obedience of Christ and having in a readiness to revenge all. In other words, when something tries to come in, you have to attack it. God has given us the tools, the weapons, and responsibility to destroy things in our lives that don't belong. And the majority, if not all, of our wrestling takes place in the arena of our mind. That's the only place where speculations, lofty things, and thoughts can reside. Number five, which kind of is a part of number four. Number five, resist the devil. You got to resist the devil. 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 9. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary the devil is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith. That's he's talking. You have to resist him, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We have to be just as adamant with the devil about attacks on our mind as we are with attacks on our finances, attacks on our family, attacks on our bodies. We have to be just as adamant and protective of our minds as we are about everything else. Number five, resist the devil. Number six, and I turn to Philippians 4 as I say that. Number six, have a consistent and disciplined prayer life. Have a consistent and disciplined prayer life. Philippians 4, I'm going to read 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Anxiousness happens in your mind. But in some things, I just want to make sure y'all listen and watch it. But in some things, your version says everything? Okay. Oh, okay, okay, all right. But in everything, by what? And what? Supplication. With what? Let your requests be made known to God. And this is what's going to happen. And the peace of God. Listen, you cannot have turmoil in your mind and peace at the same time. So if you want to get rid of the turmoil, if you want to get rid of the chaos, pray until the peace of God comes and gets all that stuff out. Woo! Am I preaching, Paul? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Because here's the thing about mental issues. Sometimes we're trying to figure everything out, and when we can't figure everything out, we go crazy. Something's wrong with me. No, nothing's wrong with you. You just need to come under the lordship of Christ and give your mind to Him and realize that He's going to take care of you. You're not going to understand it all. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your prayer will help you to guard your mind. And number seven, just stay right there. Number seven, think on godly things. Yeah, Pastor Noel said, sometimes you got to turn stuff off. Let me just say, sometimes, listen, Paul said all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Listen, there's nothing really wrong with social media or TV and things like that, but you gotta keep those things in balance, and you gotta make sure that none of those things are affecting your mental life. Your mind is powerful. All right. Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. If there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I was typing this last statement, and I started to type. I was going to type, I guarantee. Now, and the Holy Spirit checked me because I can't guarantee you anything. So here's how it reads now. God guarantees you that if you follow His word, you will be able to take authority over your mind. You will get your mind back. And no one will ever have to look at you and ask you, what were you thinking? Now, this is how I want to end this series. And I don't want, you know what? I just want to pray. And sometimes it's a step of faith that helps. So I really do this, but I want everybody just to bow your heads. Just bow your heads. Everybody just bow your heads. Close your eyes. And I'm doing the same. I'm not looking. But this is between you and God. And if you would say, Pastor, I'm dealing with some mental issues in my life. Every head bowed, every head closed. I'm dealing with some mental issues in my life, or I know someone who is. I want you to just make that known to the Lord. Just lift that hand up. Just lift that hand up. I'm dealing with fear. I'm being tormented. Whatever it is. God, you see these hands. I don't see them. You see them. I pray for every person right now. God, that you would make yourself real. And that you would give them the strength to take authority over their mind, that they would use the word of God and take back what the enemy has tried to steal from them, their joy, their peace. I pray for those that are struggling as a result of trauma, as a result of things that they have faced in their life. I pray for those that have legitimate chemical imbalances and things that we just don't know that much about, that you would heal them, God, that you would bring their lives back into balance. Whatever the issue, whatever, and if it is a spiritual issue, we come against that spirit in the name of Jesus. We come against that principality in the name of Jesus. Spiritual wickedness in high places, we come against it in the name of Jesus. And we pray for healing. I pray for our youth, God, that you would, Lord, just help them. Guard their hearts, guard their minds. They're still learning how to serve you. So let not the enemy take control over their thought life. In the name of Jesus. I pray for those like this woman in the Bible that was bent over 18 years. I pray that there, if there is anyone that has been bent over in their spirit, that you would heal them and lift them up. Help them to rise again in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we have the mind of Christ. We are your children. And you are our shepherd. And we don't have to want for anything. So we thank you for peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, look at somebody and say, take authority, take authority. Thank God for His word. I said, thank God for His word. Are you ready to give to the Lord? Come on, let's prepare to give. Let's prepare to give to the Lord. Make your... ready to give? I said, are y'all ready to give? All right, lift that gift up and let's pray. Lord, thank you that here at the presence we are cheerful, bountiful givers. Thank you, Lord, that we're blessed to be a blessing. Come on, say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Come on, say it again, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Say it again, I'm blessed to be a blessing. So God, today we give knowing that we will see it again in greater measure. Thank you, the seed that leaves our hand never leaves our life, but it goes into our future and multiplies. We will see it again. So God, as we give today, may we give with cheerful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give to the Lord. Listen, we had about 40 people that went to Branson yesterday. We had an awesome time. Everybody who went, stand up. Everybody who went, stand up. Stand up. Everybody who went. Look at all these people. Yes. Had an awesome time. We had a nice bus, and you can be seated. We went down, drove down to Branson and ate at Paula Deen's restaurant and shopped a little bit and then went and saw... Queen Esther at the Sight and Sound Theater. Pastor Sonal and I have been a few times. If you have never been to the Sight and Sound Theater in Branson, it's worth the trip to go. You got to go at least once. The attention to detail and the staging and everything is just incredible. Okay, and so we had an awesome time. Oh, be praying. Let's be praying for Will Rogers. He's dealing with something. Just be praying for him. Okay, listen, y'all. I kind of feel like maybe y'all want to have service tomorrow, next Sunday. Who's going to be here next Sunday? All right. Okay, I'm just going to change it. We're going to have service next week. Okay? Have service next week. We have a few people that are going to be out of town, but those who are here, I'll unlock the door. Okay, I tried. So we'll be here. Vernita, we'll be here. Huh? What? You happy now? All you need is two or three. All right, we'll be here, so... Scratch what I said at the beginning. All right. God is good. Y'all ready to go and conquer and get your keep your mind stayed on the Lord? Amen. Amen. We'll stand on your feet. Let's go home. Oh, I'm sorry. Just remain standing. One thing we will be here this coming Wednesday for our Wednesday family night, but our Saturday prayer push, we're going to postpone that, okay? So we will not have our Saturday prayer push, but we will have Sunday morning service, and I want to just remind everyone also that the first Saturday in June, we will be having our team members fellowship. Okay? All right. All hearts and minds clear. Lift those hands toward heaven. I give the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you very soon at the present. Yeah.